Before you get up to preach, when somebody makes you start crying, that always starts it out on a good note. Get you going. Blessed. It's hard for me to explain or even describe to you as I get my notes out and get myself prepared and try to push back the tears, but a group of men and wives who cared and wanted the best for us and made sure that they directed our steps in a manner that would lead us to the Lord. Tuck your neck. I do this a lot. I hardly ever cry when I do it. Sometimes when I get up to preach, my congregation at Red Oak, if I get up and I have my notebook, they know that, oh, he's got it written down. He's going to follow that outline and he'll be done in about 20 or 30 minutes. It's going to be over. If I get up and I just have my Bible, he just got his Bible. He's going to go on and on and on and on this morning. Sometimes that's the truth. I've got a well-prepared sermon for you guys this morning. I spent a lot of time doing it, and my wife, who is my best friend, confidant, and I have other best friends too, but she said, I said, what do you think I ought to preach about when I go to Podo? And she said, this is what you ought to preach about. This is one of your best ones. And it would be encouraging for them to hear it. So why don't you preach this sermon? And I said, nah, okay. But I was really thinking about preaching this one. So the truth is, Mike, you're getting them both. Okay? So dig in. If you've got food on at home, you're out of luck. It'll probably be burnt. I apologize for tearing up. I am a grown man. People caring. You know, I'm going to make a confession to you guys. Let's see, I don't know, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, my weight was down. I was feeling pretty good. Thought I had life by the tail. Things changed. My weight starts coming up because I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I eat when I'm stressed out. Do you guys ever get stressed out? Has this been a stressful last 7 to 9 months for you guys? It has been for me. That's my confession to you this morning. I'm not even going to try to lie about that. I hate every bit of it. I want things to get back to normal. I want to feel my life going on as usual, amen, where I don't have to do things. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to take some time for that to happen. And in the meantime, there are a few things that we need to understand and know. Because if we're to get through this time, that is a stressful time, then we're going to have a friend. We're going to have somebody that we know that we can trust, and we know that we can depend on, and that we know that he cares about us.
Right.
And that person needs to be Jesus Christ. That person needs to be Jesus. I don't know if you guys ever do this, but I was looking at my cell phone the other day, and you know, I hit the calendar icon. The calendar icon came up, and it had February on there, and I thought, well, what does that dot mean inside that date? So you touch it, and it tells you what it is. So I start going down through there, touching stuff, and seeing what's what. And I thought, well, you know, that would be something that's really good to talk about at Podo, because it's very interesting about how it all came about, and most people don't even understand it. And I'm going to ask you all another question. Do you really trust God? Do we really trust God? We need to really trust God. We need to lean on Him, and we need to let some things be His responsibilities to take care of in our life, because we don't have the ability or the resources to do it. We can't do it. We're just people. We can't do it. So as I'm looking down through there, I hit February 17th, Ash Wednesday. Just out of curiosity, is there anybody in here who can raise their hand? Don't look at your phone. Raise your hand and tell me, I know what Ash Wednesday is and where it came from. Not a soul. Not a soul. And you shouldn't be able to, because it's a Catholic holiday. That's a Catholic holiday. Okay? We don't observe that in the church. It's 6 weeks before Easter. And it is a day where they start a very penitent ritual where they put ashes, an ash cross on their forehead. And it's a day of fasting and prayer and asking for forgiveness of sins. That starts a six-week ritual for Catholic people that culminates with Easter Sunday. And it's a celebration on Easter Sunday for Catholic people. So all of my life, I grew up and we had Easter and we had, occasionally we would hunt eggs or whatever, okay? And I never knew what it was. I never understood what Easter was or what was supposed to happen. I did know this about Easter, though. On Easter Sunday, the ladies dressed really nice and wore hats to church, okay? I knew that. Everybody was going to dress really nice and they were going to wear hats to church. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool, but I never understood because I never dealt with that or researched it or got into it, okay? That entire six-week period for Catholic folks is called Lent, L-E-N-T. L-E-N-T. Lent is a period of time where they focus on fasting and prayer and asking for repentance, or repenting and asking for forgiveness. Can you imagine what it would be like in church every Sunday if we came to church and our sins were exposed when we walked through the door, like your temperature? How about that? Your temperature. Had a button. Oh, no, you got this many sins this week. Just go ahead and put a sign on there that says, I've done this, 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 and this this week. I need forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine what that would be like? Do we trust God? Do we trust God? Bob's jumping all around my sermon this morning as he was preparing us to take the Lord's Supper. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'll get my glasses out. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading with verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to go on all the way through verse 11. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, and we were enemies of God. In our sins, we're enemies of God. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received the reconciliation. A long time ago, I saw a sermon in the old building at the Red Oak Church of Christ. Most of you won't remember that building. It looked like an old frame house, one of those old shotgun houses that maybe one of our grandparents lived in. And there was a man who preached there. His name was Bethel Bentley. Benny's dad. Benny's dad, and he had a chalkboard, and he had chalk on the pants of his pockets because he kept that chalk right there, and he'd stick in his pocket, and he had chalk on his pants while he was preaching. And he went up to that board, and he drew three big circles. Us, God, Jesus. And then he drew a circle in between all of those, and he wrote S-I-N in the middle of it. Sin. Because sin is what keeps us separated. Sin is what keeps us from our Lord. Sin is what keeps us unreconciled from God Jehovah. And the only thing that can span that gap is Jesus Christ. The only thing that can bring us back to being reconciled with God Jehovah is Jesus Christ. We need Him, and He loves us. And God loves us so much that while we were still sinners in our sin, He gave Christ to die for us. Let me make this, clearer for you. I think sometimes that when we think about sin, we think about, the little white lie sins, and then the group of sins or the set of sins over here that are the big sins. And in our human minds, somehow we separate those things. But they're really not separate to God. Sin is sin, and those things separate us from Him. Let's flip over a couple pages to chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. When we're in our sin, Jesus, God, still loved us. When we were in our sin, God gave us Christ. When we were in our sin, not on our best day. Not on our best day. Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He loved us. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not COVID-19. Can't keep us from the love of God. Nothing. Oh, Curtis, you know, you're talking about God's elect. God's elect. You're talking about the very best, okay? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. I'm talking about the very worst. I'm talking about you at your depth of sin, at your depth of your worst day. Your worst day. Curtis, you can't be talking about that. Those things are just too bad for God to love me through. No. I'm going to read a piece of passage to you, a piece of scripture to you that for me kind of makes me sick to my stomach. And I want you to know that God loved those people. I'm going to read a piece of scripture to you right now. that I hope never happens to any of us, that none of us are ever there. And God says, I still loved you when you were there. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor executioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. And such were some of you. And God loved you. And God loved you. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. But sin will separate us from God. And we have to get that reconciled. We have to get that taken care of. We have to do whatever it is that we need to do in order for God to say, I want the blood of Jesus Christ to cover that sin. I want the sacrifice of my son to cover that sin. We need to not hide it. We need to not be ashamed that we sinned, even though it is shameful to sin. We are all going to sin, and we don't need to justify it or to try to talk it away in our own mind. It's just not the truth. We need to be truthful with one another. We need to be truthful to ourselves, and we need to be truthful with God Jehovah, so that the sacrifice that he gave us to do it with is effectual. It works. We need to make sure that we are trusting in him, that we lean on him to do what he said that he was going to do, that we let him be who he said he was, and that we believe him. We need to trust him. I want to tell you just for a few minutes here, I'm going to take a little bit of a break in between these two ideas, and I'm going to tell you about a little bit of research that I've been doing lately, okay? Stress. Stress. I'm going to go ahead and take a show of hands. How many of you would say that you have a lot of stress in your life? Nobody? Okay. How many of you would say, okay, there we go, now somebody's telling the truth. How many would you say you've got a medium or a moderate amount of stress in your life? How many of you would say that you have a really light amount of stress in your life? Okay, just a little bit of stress in your life. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, I have a lot of stress in my life. If you don't believe what I'm getting ready to tell you, the lady is sitting right there, and she will tell you. I work 7 days a week. My phone rings off the wall. I never get a break. I left it in the car this morning because if I bring it in here, what will happen? It'll ring. It'll go, 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 go. Okay? I beg my wife, please put that thing down and get it away from me. I told her when I retired the first time that I was going to drive to Fort Smith just so I could cross the Garrison Avenue Bridge. Wouldn't that feel good? Wouldn't that feel good? You call me now. Yeah. I was going to throw that thing over in the river, but I didn't. But I have to get away from it sometimes. I have to give myself a break from it sometimes. There has been a lot of research, and you guys need to look at this. Stress is not stress. For years, I have told people, and I have thought myself that stress was the killer in our lives. It'll give us heart disease. It's going to cause problems. It's going to cause us not to be physically fit. And stress is not the problem, brothers and sisters. How we relate to and challenge our stress is the problem. If we don't rely on God, to help us with the problems that we have. We are not equipped to do the things that he asks us to do by ourselves. You can't do it. I'm bad at everything I do without him. I'm the worst husband in the world. I'm not a very good daddy. I'm not any good at anything I do without Jesus. We need to rely on him to help us through things and to teach us how to do things and to lean on him when we have times of trouble. And we need to understand that he is there for us and that he is there for us because he loves us. He wouldn't have gone to the cross if he hadn't. He wouldn't have gone to the cross if he hadn't. I have one grandson, Maddox. You guys probably have seen Maddox or know who Maddox is. I don't care how bad your sin is, you're not getting him. God had one son. One. He had one son. And he gave his son for us, for you and me, for our sin. And we're going to have to let him have the rule and the reign in our life, and we're going to have to give him the proper amount of respect and devotion and whatever it else is he deserves, and let him take care of the things in our life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, because he cares for you." Do I trust God? Or do I want to try to handle it myself? I can't do it. I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. I can tell you right now, if I leave here today and I start trying to take care of all of the problems that I have in my life, and I'm going to handle every one of them because I'm Curtis Curry and I have the ability to do this. And my goodness, I have a master's degree. I should be able to do this. If I start trying to do that, when I see you next time, I weigh 308. I'll eat every Snickers bar between here and wherever I can get them. I know that because I can't do it. I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I eat when I'm celebrating. I eat when I'm stressed. I know that. We need to know a few things about ourselves. Do I want to be healthy and happy? Well, if I want to do that, then I'm going to have to lean on God. And I'm going to have to let him take care of some stuff because I can't do it. Cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. I'm going to tell you something else too. Mine's sitting right there and she gets tired of hearing my junk sometimes, I guess. If I were her, I would. I'll tell you that. But all of us need a best friend. We need somebody that we can rely on, who we can talk to, who we know will have integrity and keep our conversations to themselves. Another reason that I don't like social media, we think it's okay to air our dirty laundry. I think the world does. Thinks it's okay to air their dirty laundry on social media, and I don't really care to read all that stuff. I don't want to hear it. If I am going to confess my sin to someone, Joe, if I'm going to tell you about my sin, I don't want you telling everybody about that. Do you guys understand that? If I'm going to lean on you as a fellow Christian to listen to me so that I can confess to you, I don't want you spreading all that stuff around. So everybody else knows it too. One of my favorite things on social media was a thing. You guys remember MyPage? MyPage, that was several years ago. Was it MyPage? MySpace several years ago. There was a deal on there that asked you about it wasn't your status, it was something else, but it was kind of like that. And I'm like, who cares? Who cares? If I was going to tell somebody, I'd tell somebody that I loved that was sitting right there, but not put it on the www. You guys know what that stands for, don't you? The www. That's the World Wide Web. If you put something on that thing, everybody, unless you're in North Korea, everybody else can see it. Okay? Everybody else can see it, unless you're in North Korea. If you do something on there, and I'm not reading anybody's mail, but if you do something on the internet, everybody knows it except the people in North Korea, because the internet's against the law in North Korea. They won't let them use it, okay? Everybody else can see it. My great-grandmother used to say, the clothesline's in the backyard for a reason. I don't want everybody seeing my dirty laundry. It's in the backyard for a reason. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We need a best friend. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. One of the things that I love to tell people is, you know, Corinth was not a good place. There was a lot of bad stuff going on in Corinth. But the letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians were not written to the city of Corinth. They were written to the church. They were written to the church. And some of them were those things that were listed there. Do you think people didn't know? Confess our sins one to another, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I don't want to do that, and I don't want to make his sacrifice vain. I don't want to make his sacrifice vain. I want his sacrifice to mean something. I want it to be useful. I want it to be working in people's lives. Working in my life. Can you imagine what it would look like if we came in this morning and we had a little button and that took our temperature and it just listed all of our sins for the week? James chapter 5, the book of James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And you guys can quote the second half of that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to be able to have somebody that we can trust, that we can say, hey, I've had a really bad week and I haven't done so well spiritually. I've made some mistakes. I'd appreciate if you'd sit down with me and pray with me. I need to be encouraged a little bit. I need to be encouraged a little bit. Two things, I guess, that I grew up loving. I guess loving. Were basketball and being around this congregation. And I'm very blessed this morning as I'm here. I have a man at Red Oak who has been a full-time minister himself, and he has a Bible degree. He is more of a theologian than I am. He is there this morning filling my shoes in the pulpit at Red Oak and taking care of everything that I need to do this morning at Red Oak. And I texted him this morning and I said, Randy, I really appreciate you. And I just feel really drawn this morning and have for a while to make sure that I go and preach a sermon at Poto because I think they need to hear God's word. I think they need to have some encouragement. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. I am nobody without him. I'm nobody without him. And I know that. But you would be surprised at what I can get done with him. You would be surprised. This morning, one of the things and the biggest thing that I want to do is I want to encourage you. Because I'm telling you right now, none of us, there's nobody in here who's old enough to say I've lived through a worldwide pandemic. Nobody in here has seen that. We're going through this together. People are hurting. People are lonely. People are discouraged. People are frustrated. People are mad. What do they need to take care of all of those emotions and all of those feelings? They need a friend. And brothers and sisters, there's not a better friend than Jesus Christ. There's not a better friend than Jesus Christ. This morning, I want you to know that the lesson is yours. The lesson is yours. I want you to understand that you don't commit a sin. There's not a sin in your life that's worse than anything that God was thinking about when he sent Jesus to die for our sins. You haven't gotten outside of his realm of ideas about what sin is. If he wasn't dealing with those kinds of sins, then he would never have sent Jesus. He just wouldn't have done it. I'm telling you right now, I have one grandson. You're not getting him. You're not getting him, okay? It's that simple, okay? You have to know that God Jehovah loves you. And you can't get outside of that love. There's nothing you can do to get outside of that love. This morning, if there's anybody here who has any need, come while we stand and while we sing.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me. How I love him.
Thank you.